Okay, this coming Shabbos we're going to have the honor and the privilege of reading Parshas Pekudei, which of course is the ultimate Parsha in Sefer Shemos, which will lead to a major chazak. So the Parsha begins, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaOedos. These are the accountings, and Ramosha Feinstein's Hatzal noted that the accountings that a person needs to provide in his life are primarily about his life, as to whether he or she is meeting the life goals that that Hashem is expecting from him or her. In fact, Ramosha Zatzal used to note that the Chafetz Chaim would regularly remind people that the main issue that Hashem has with us is about the life we lead without any accounting, the time wasted and the time lost. And the first way for us to combat that lost time is to make an accounting for it and study Musar in order to find where our missing time is. Eilef HaKudea Mishkan, it's a place to begin looking. And while we're on this subject, Eilef HaKudea Mishkan, Rashi notes that the word Mishkan appears twice in the Pasuk, back to back. It would set off the spelling alert in most of our word processing programs, Mishkan, Mishkan. But here it's in order for us to know that Hashem had accepted the Mishkan as a Mashkon and that He'd forgiven us for the Cheda Egel because He had allowed the Shechina to rest with us then. Now, how did the Mishkan serve as the role of atonement, and how did its existence prove that there was atonement for Cheda Egel? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that this is like a person who experiences a certain reversal of financial fortune. While he sells things that he doesn't need, he will not sell things that he does. Those things he will mortgage instead. And similarly, the Jews knew that in the Midbar, they didn't need gold and silver. What they needed was a place for Asheras Hashchina. Cheid HaEgel showed the need to have Hashem in their lives. And so B'nai Yisrael responded by getting rid of the gold and the silver, by turning around and realizing, we don't need this, this is a silliness, we'll sell this forward. But their quick and full response to the appeal for Tcheles Argaman, for Zahav Chesef Nechoshes, for all these things, it served to demonstrate that they had learned of their need for Shechina, and that they knew that a cheap substitute like the Egel couldn't replace Hashem. And so Hashem was able to forgive them with the command of building the Mishkan, which in of itself contained within it the understanding that there was a certain sense of acceptance by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah tells us later in the Parsha, Vayaviyu es HaMishkan al Moshe, they brought the Mishkan to Moshe, and the Medrash Tanchuma notes that Moshe felt very bad that he had no hand in the building of the Mishkan, and thus Hashem made sure that only he, Moshe Rabbeinu, was going to be able to put it up. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu think that he had nothing to do with the establishment of the Mishkan? Certainly in Shmos Rabbah we find that Moshe would regularly check in on the artisans and teach them how to make every aspect of the Mishkan. He clearly did give of himself for the building of the Mishkan, so why do we worry? So Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein explains that we learn the value of hands-on involvement in a project. Moshe refused to accept any role in the building of the Mishkan that he was not 100% involved in hands-on. He wouldn't accept the credit for that role. And since he had given that hands-on role to the artisans, Hashem gave him another opportunity to have a hands-on role in the building of the Mishkan, that of putting it all together. We're told that when it came time, B'nai Yisrael did all the avodah, but Vayar Moshe es kol amlocha. In the very next pasuk, towards the end of Perek Lamites, we're told that Moshe saw all the malacha. Now, why is the work referred to as avodah in regard to Bnei Yisrael, but Moshe sees the malacha? When we think about what Moshe thinks about that work, what's to be learned from that episode? So Rav Nevin Sal Shalita explains that malacha refers to the thought and intent behind the work. Avodah refers merely to the physical labor. And when considering the Mishkan, everyone was able to see that the physical labor was completed properly, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. But only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see that even the intent, even the maleches machsheves, the thought process in each step, was also pure. And hence, Moshe was able to evaluate the malacha, while Bnei Yisrael were only able to understand the avoda. We're also told, Tokim es Mishkan Oa Moed, on the first of Nisan, you'll establish the Mishkan. Which reminds us that Rav Shechter Shalita would often stress that the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, of course, served more than just a place to bring karbanos. And the Rambam notes that when we daven, we face the Makom HaMikdash, as it is the central place of Tefillah. This, of course, is the introduction of the Rambam to Hilchos Tefillah. And the Rambam, we also understand that the Mikdash also serves as a central place of Torah, both the written Torah, as is evidenced by the Sifrei Torah Shel Azara and their authoritative status, and the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, which is evidenced by being the central Sanhedrin's meeting point. And this is the reason why we daven and ask for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We say, Sheyibana Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira v'yameinu, v'sein chalkeinu b'sorasecha. We should get a piece of the Torah. The two pieces, Beis HaMikdash and Torah, go hand in hand, because the Beis HaMikdash is also the central place for Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh. The Mikdash is also a place of emanation of prophecy. We know the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that Yonah ben Amittai got Nevuah when he would go up to Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Shechter would clarify, you see from all of this, that the point of the Mikdash is central to us, and its centrality requires constant reminder, and hence the repetition of all these parashios of Teruma and Tetzaveh, of Kisisa v'Yakob Agudei, to show us that the centrality, we're but a shell of ourselves when we don't have the Mikdash at our hands. I think he quoted to us that the language of Tzeda L'Adarech teaches us the understanding that the Gematria of Tzeda that there are 99 mitzvos, maybe just over 100, that a Jew is able to fulfill without a Mikdash. That's quite a drop down from the times when there is a Mikdash, and so we have to be aware. And we have to remember that the centrality of the Makom HaMikdash is kind of essential in our lives. The Torah tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu was putting the pieces in, Vayikach Vayitenes Ha'idus El Aharon, he took and he put the Eidus to the Aharon. Now what's the point of the word Vayikach over here? If Moshe Rabbeinu placed the Luchos in the Aharon, clearly he had to take them from somewhere, so why do you add the word Vayikach? So Rav Gifter Zatzal explained that the act of taking was significant in its own right, because until this point, the Luchos were in Moshe Rabbeinu's tent, where Torah would spring forth from. But now it would come from a much more public place, and so therefore the change in the venue is significant as well. You'd see a Tzadik Milmakom also has a Roshem, as where Rashi tells us at the beginning of Parashas Vayetze. Well, we see the same thing over here in that regard. We're also told that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to come into the Mishkan, Ki Shachan Alav Ha'anan, because of the cloud that was there. So Or Chaim HaKadosh gets bothered by this. We find earlier in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly able to enter a cloud of Kedusha. So what does the Pasuk mean over here? So Shmuel Berenbaum Zatzal, the late great Meir Hashiv, explained that when Chazal tell us that Maaseh Tzadikim are Gedolim Yoseh Mishamayim V'aretz, that the actions of Tzadikim are greater than the creation of the heaven and the earth, it means that there's a certain revelation of Hashem's Kedusha in a place where the people choose to serve Hashem. And thus, in the Mishkan, a place of man-generated Kedusha, Moshe didn't gain immediate access, even if he was able to do so in a heavenly declared location. A person needs to understand that when we create a Mon of Kedusha, a place of Kedusha, we have created something really terrific and special that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives unique status to. Finally, the Haftorah this week comes from Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, where Shlomo HaMelech dedicates the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Amnon Bazak Shalita notes that the Beis HaMikdash had many similarities to the Mishkan, but that there are clear distinctions apparent to Shlomo HaMelech now that he's inaugurating the Mikdash. While both edifices are places of rendezvous with Hashem, the Mishkan was a place where Moshe spoke to Hashem panim al panim. He entered, and Hashem spoke, says Rav Bazak. But in the Mikdash there would be no Moshe Rabbeinu, and so therefore the rendezvous would be different, and people would enter the Mikdash, and their sense would be that this is where Hashem would be best able to listen. Yes, there's a rendezvous in both places, but in one case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks very loud and clear. In the other place, the primary sense is the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to listen. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu hear our tefillos. May He be able to accept us, Vavienu L'tzion Iro Berina, Yishalayim Bis Mikdash Obisimchas Olam. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us the opportunity to experience the ultimate Chazak, the ultimate sense of strength, V'nischazek, and we will be able to be Mechuzakim Biyachad, Ad Bias Goal Tzedek, B'mheira B'yameinu. Amen. Shabbat Shalom to all.